Welcome back, beautiful beings of divine light. I'm your host, Annie Perry, welcoming you to another episode of the Luminary Podcast. Today we begin a new journey, a new voyage, and this is a voyage for you, for your soul remembrance. There have been many, many changes in my field since the beginning of this eclipse season. We are still in the middle of the eclipse season, but these changes are irrevocable. They are forever. I feel forever changed. My entire soul mission has taken on a new depth, a new meaning. There have been layers and specifics about my mission that have been revealed to me, specifically by my galactic family, the Arcturians. The Arcturians are my sending family. They sent me here on this mission, and part of my mission that will now commence is to tell you the story, the many stories, actually, of the galactic wars. And for full transparency, there was initially quite a bit of apprehension on my side when I was shown that I had not only wanted to, but agreed to, and had implanted many codes in my own chart, in my own DNA, in my own soul mission plan to tell this story. And the apprehension really comes from the cautiousness of my own soul to never create more duality. There's already plenty of that that exists. And when we talk about the galactic wars, there is so much pain. There's so much heartache. There's so much soul heartache that is probably going to need to come up and be processed by you. Because you were there. You were there. If you found me in this lifetime, it's because you were there. Many of you were there with me during the Orion Wars. That was the primary time in my soul history when I was, you know, on the ground, a warrior, a soldier, a captain, a general of armies, leading these different fights against what we will call the forces of the dark or service to self beings. And we led these different fights against them to protect the free will of those who could not protect themselves. But whenever you talk about a war, whenever you talk about what happened in Orion, whenever you talk about what happened with the Lyrans, whenever you talk about what's happening here on Earth in the unseen worlds, it's very easy to slip back into duality and say it's us versus them. And say, I'm afraid of them. And so everything in my journey has prepared me to walk you through this story over however many episodes it takes, with the most love and the most belief that all is one, and a clear understanding of the dimensions, the densities of consciousness, and how we as souls evolve. Because the law of one and unity consciousness is the truth of my soul. That is the heartbeat of my soul. That was the code that awoke in me divine truth, divine remembrance. All is one, all is one, all is one. Yes, I remember that. My soul remembers that. And yet at the same time, it is so vital for humanity over the coming months on this planet to remember this story, for you to receive these light codes of cosmic soul memory so that you can remember not just who you are, but why you are, why you came, why you are here, and what the next phase of your mission is. My mission was always to come here to activate and illuminate the light leaders so that they would then go out and activate and illuminate and heal and bring back into unity consciousness and spread their light over this planet. It was always meant to be a domino effect. We are the sleeper agents that have been planted here on the earth by the forces of light for us to wake up and not to fight against other, not to create separation, not to create duality, but simply to allow our light to awaken and to amplify. That's all that is necessary for the light, is simply for it to exist. There's so much I want to tell you right away, especially about you and about who you are and about our story, about all of the different battles and fights, but all of the different good times, all of the lifetimes, all of the joy, all of the vows that we made, all of the bonds that we had. I want to tell you everything all at once. But this is a story that has to be told from beginning to the present. Some of you were there the entire time. Some of us were not, including myself. I enter into this fray in the Orion Wars. And so to begin this story, we have to start at the beginning. And that is why the Lyrans have come to me as the origin point of humanity, the origin point of the Galactic Wars. They have come to me and given me the honor of channeling and telling me their story from their perspective through me to you, which is a huge gift because if you know anything about the Lyrans, the true original Lyrans that were placed in this galaxy by the Elohim, the creators of the universe, then you know that connecting with these true original Lyrans is incredibly rare. They are very elusive. They are not open to connecting with all who may be reaching out to them. And so I'm honored that they have come to me and told me that they would like to tell their part of the story through me. As you should with any channel, it's important for you to know what density of consciousness and what time-space dimension that this channeled information is coming from. The Lyran story is coming from their seventh density version of themselves, known as the Lion of Unity Consciousness. They appear to me as a great white lion. If you see this lion in any of your meditations, in any kind of psychic experience, just know that you are being directly connected to the original part of the Lyran social memory complex. This lion wears a metal crown. This crown is not like any human crown. It has two bars that run down the sides of the lion's face. It is gold and platinum. Welcome, beautiful beings of divine light, to episode 1 of the Galactic Wars, the Lyran Legacy. In order for you to understand this story, it's so important to go back to the beginning. Our universe holds many infinite galaxies, of which we reside in only one. Our universe, like all universes, is created by the Elohim. The Elohim are the penultimate of each universe, as in we will eventually evolve to become part of an Elohim. Our universe will conclude and we will go on to create our own universe. Such is the nature of the one infinite creator, creating, creating, creating. And so in our universe, there are Elohim that have come from a different universe, that have created the beginnings of all that we see and perceive, allowing us as creations to then beget our own creations and our own creations and our own creations. If you look around our world that we call Earth, but many other call Gaia, and the humans who resided here will be known as Gaians. If you look around at the plants, the animals, the trees, all of these came from different star families. All of them were brought here to this planet. But today we are going millions and millions of years in our past to what is known as the Lyran star system. In the Lyran star system, the Elohim first came to a planet that had water, vegetation, and was ready for self-aware beings. And so the Elohim took a seed. These seeds are from the etheric realm, where other Elohim form souls. Literally, we are created, our energy gathered up when we are ready, and created into a self-aware soul. And there are many different directions that a soul can go from there. But when the Elohim are trying to seed a new race, a new planet, or trying to get races going inside of a universe, they must first start with one and allow that one to evolve, and then that one will grow and it will create other races. These races, as self-aware and sometimes highly advanced beings, will create other races, or sometimes they will leave and go to other universes, go to other galaxies. I think one of the most important things for you to receive these stories is to kind of shake off and let go some of these childish teachings that we have here on Earth as humans, that, you know, a magical god showed up one day and, like, you know, everything just, like, grew magically like you see in a movie. All of these things follow the natural laws of the universe, and yet they move from spirit to matter. These first original Lyran beings would have awoken on ships, on etheric light ships. They would have some memory of where they came from. They would have some memory still intact of the etheric realm. They would be in a higher dimensional frequency. They must, in order to interact with the Elohim. They would have been taught and guided by the Elohim, kind of given an understanding of who you are and where you are and what the dream or the plan is for you. And as a self-aware being, they would begin to form their own personalities, their own divine essence, their own desires, which is such an important part of the universe. Desire is the first seed of creation. It's the first seed of potentiality, going from wave to particle. These original Lyran beings would have been very high in the dimensions, probably 12th dimensional. And as they began to seed the first original Lyran planet, which would have been somewhat like Earth and yet a little bit more barren, because they would then go on in their evolution to create much of the vegetation and the animals that would live there. To these original Lyrans, the Elohim would have seemed as spirit guides, as creator beings, that would guide them, that would come to them in prayer or in visions, or perhaps even visit them as a being of pure light. As their consciousness evolved, they would then begin to descend down from 12D down to 3D before rising back up. I want to read you this excerpt that I channeled directly from them. I asked, "Who are the Lyrans?" And they answered, "The Lyrans were an extraterrestrial race, the first race created by the Elohim in this part of the galaxy. They were originally a semi-feline species. We start more etheric and then descend down to 3D before rising back up. Our 3D bodies were very feline and yet self-aware." This is perhaps the most popular part of the Lyran story, is that they were these feline beings. And many people draw a similarity between the Avatar beings, the movie Avatar, and the Lyrans themselves. And I would say that the truth is actually somewhat in between. As they descended from being a 12D being of light and began to create more and more dense incarnations for themselves, descending down into 3D so that they could have more and more physical experiences, which meant they needed to vibrate slower. They needed to have more density. They needed to be in an actual chemical body and to incarnate in that body. So a 8th dimensional version of them would then begin to create a 3D version of what you and I perceive as somewhat like a lion or a tiger. What you have to remember is that in those days, there were no humans. The human creation of being standing on two legs with two arms and a head would come later in their story. So at first, these were very dense physical beings. They tell me that the bodies themselves would have been quite large, almost enormous to our eyes. Because as a 12D being, they perceive themselves to be much bigger. As they continued to concentrate their light and to vibrate slower so that they could have more and more dense experiences, they incarnated into these giant cat-like species. And this would have happened for many millions of years. A seeder race, which is what the Lyrans are, right? The Elohim comes to seed a race. I believe that the Arcturians, the Sirians, the Andromedans are all seeder races. The Pleiadians evolved from templates that were taken from the Lyran human templates that they would later create and were seeded in the Pleiades. That's why they look so human. So if we go back to Lyra and we understand that the Elohim brought them there, and then as etheric 12D beings, they begin to concentrate down into more dense 3D forms before beginning their rise back up. And as they evolve, they realize that a body with two legs and two arms was perhaps better than walking on all fours. And they began to evolve themselves into these upright cat-like species. Their planets were beautiful, far different from ours. Many other planets have this almost internal glow that you and I perceive as bioluminescence, and yet they would have had that in nearly all places on their planet. Many other planets also have the same atmosphere temperature that is very consistent across the whole planet. Earth is absolutely an exception, and there are other planets similar to Earth that have a varied temperatures and a variety of things like forests and jungles. But I would say the original Lyran planets look very much like a colorful jungle like you imagine in the Avatar movies, which is, I believe that James Cameron is straight up Lyran. He just like took all of the Lyran memory and just poured it into this beautiful creation that he has. They had a blue sky like us, although it would become much darker earlier in the day. It wasn't as bright throughout the day as it is here. But the original skin tones was not blue. That would come later on a different planet known as Vega. The original skin tones were somewhat neutral, just like a human's are. Although the skin itself was different and there were markings on it. The markings varied. Sometimes it was lines, what you might see as stripes. Sometimes it was circular. And it was seen as decoration. As something that should be on the body, that the body should not be just plain, that it should have some sort of design or detailing on it. It was part of the creative process. So these self-aware Lyrans grew, evolved, and they went through their entire third density of consciousness. This is when they start to make that ascent back up into the higher dimensions. And the part that we meet them at is 1 million years, 1 million of our years, after they left the third density of consciousness. So imagine, if you will, that you are 1 million years from now on Earth. That is where they were when they first met another species in the universe. I asked them, what were you like before the wars? They said, we had many planets and were far out of third density, perhaps by 1 million years. We had begun space travel, terraforming other planets to be more habitable, transferring organic life forms from water to plants to animals and insects to these new planets so our people could thrive. We began genetic testing and creation. This is where the original designs and templates for the human form were created. We were already standing upright in semi-light bodies, the cat-like form that many of you are fond of. Yes, we even had a tail. The tails serve a purpose for balance, allowing us to climb, to jump, to be more balanced than an average being without a tail. There are many advantages to having a tail. It also acts as extrasensory, the same way that you see it in cats or dogs. It allowed us to sense danger or if other tribes were coming near. Yes, we started as a tribal species at first. When we believed that we were alone, this would have been much closer to our third density of consciousness. Tribal species with tails, standing upright, gaining awareness of who we are, wondering about the stars, where we might go, where we came from. We began to communicate with the Elohim through meditation, through the third eye, as you understand it. Yes, all self-aware beings have the seven main energy centers. This is consistent throughout the galaxy, even in beings called the Dark Ones. They simply choose to not activate some of their energy centers and instead centralize power through other energy centers, creating their own lived distortion. But as we ascended out of third density into fourth density, our interactions with the Elohim became more and more. Soon we were seeing them clearly in meditations, or what we would call visualizations. We could see them with our eyes open, forming a circle together. We would concentrate all of our energy, all of our love, and we would call the Elohim to us. They were always happy to come. They were always happy to be there, to be invited, to be seen and remembered by us once more. This is when they told us the different stories of our origins, of how they brought us here on ships, activating in us exactly what you are doing, the remembrance of the great cosmic memory, the truth of who you are. We were gifted that memory by the Elohim in these circular meditations. We were able to see and remember, these are our creators, they brought us here. And we asked them, what do you desire of us? And they said, nothing. We encourage you to create more and more. And so we began. It took us many years, many of your years. Our years were somewhat slower. But still, it was many nonetheless. We grew in our technology and in our advancement. We knew that the energy, the power of what we perceived to be the Elohim, or what you might call Source, was running through all of nature and was part of us. And so we desired to keep a strong connection to nature, choosing not to build vast cities or to eliminate nature to make more room for us. Instead, we began to work on our technology, thinking of ourselves as one with nature. What would a creator do? What would a creator make? As we advanced in our own technology, in our own understanding of the elements, and then of the organic biological life forms, We began to wonder, what else could we create? Perhaps even different bodies, perhaps a new species. At this point in our evolution, we had already been astral traveling to other planets. We were able to scout and to scope out which ones might be able to support our life forms if we were to create more and more, just as the Elohim had directed. But we knew that we would need to be able to transport all of these new creations to seed a new planet, and so we began working on interspace travel. Creating and building ships that would take us from one planet to another, safely. I will not tell you that it is similar to how humans have created their form of primitive interspace travel. That we were all locked in office buildings, typing away and designing on computers. No, we learned how to project the templates with our minds. We learned how to create etherically through both energy and matter. You would see us standing out there in nature, creating these ships through thought, through intention, through energy that became form. As we created these ships, which to our eyes and to others were still somewhat primitive, but nothing like what humans on Earth have created currently. So you must extract the belief that they are the same. They were quite different, and yet both in their nature somewhat primitive. The form would hold us and bring us to other planets and allow us to begin transferring biologics. It was around this time that our interspace travel began, that we began to create what you call the human form, what we will call the original human template and design. It was to be a being that was standing upright on two legs. Originally, yes, this being was going to have a tail like ours. However, we had begun to use ape templates. Apes had been seeded on our planet by the Elohim. We had been genetically testing them for many years. We took these ape templates and we began to combine them with our own DNA. We did this with many other creations, but the one with the ape template seemed the most viable. And that is because of the five fingers. When our species began, originally we had two fingers that became three, that became four, and through our intersection with what you call human DNA, became five. Now, we no longer need hands, for we are pure light. However, that is the evolution and process. What you refer to as a human has these five-fingered hands. These five-fingered hands were important. They came from the ape species, and we noticed how much better they were at being able to grab onto things and hold it indefinitely. We thought for this new species, they would be able to do exactly what we had been directed by the Elohim. With these five fingers, they would be able to create more and more. The original templates did not have light skin, how you perceive in your Earth Sphere reality. Many of the original templates actually had dark skin, what you might perceive to be black skin. This came from the ape species, and originally we thought nothing of it, that it was a different design. Naturally, we began to mix it deeper with our own. Our skin colors at that time were golden hues, much like you perceive this fur on a lion. These different golden hues would mix with the darker hues, and as we began to grow and evolve, it eventually became somewhat of a light golden brown to dark brown. You see this color still common on your own planet, in the Middle East, and in the country you call India. These would have been some of the original skin colors: dark black, brown, golden brown, for the early human species. We began to allow these species to grow, to evolve, many of our own souls incarnating into them. The height was somewhat confusing at first. Should they be quite small or should they be tall? At that point in our own evolution, we were quite tall, somewhere around 7 of your feet. We allowed for many different variations to exist, so there would have been humans as short as 4 feet and as nearly as tall as us. Their early facial features would be somewhat different to what you might see and perceive now. This again, we studied different templates, different ideas, different designs. Should they be quite round? Should they be quite large? Should they be quite narrow? Ultimately, we settled on somewhat of a square form. This was to differentiate them from the bodies that we were already evolving out of. What you must understand is all of this did not happen in a day, a week, a month, a year. Many of this happened over hundreds of years, hundreds of our different lifetimes. Therefore, many hundreds of different ideas as we continued to evolve towards the light. Even though the bodies were somewhat different, we did not see this new human race as separate from us, but rather the future of our own evolution. We saw many visions of ourselves in the distant future, evolving out of needing this feline species as a body, evolving out of needing a tail for balance. We saw ourselves growing and evolving more towards what we saw and perceived in the Elohim. It is true. The Creator creates in its own form, again and again. We created the human form in what we saw and perceived to be the Elohim form, seeing the human form as our future, as our destiny, as we evolved. But again, we add the caveat, these would not have been the same bodies that you reside in Earth right now. Similar, yes, but not the same. You would not look upon these templates and say, oh, that is a fellow human. You would look upon these templates and say, that is an alien. It might look like me. It might walk like me. It will speak like me. But that is most definitely not a human being that you would find on your earth. These original templates were given to the Elohim. As we now know, but did not know then, they would take these original templates and begin using them to seed other planets. This was the origination point of the species that you call the Pleiadians. And of course, there were many other species that were seeded around the galaxy. But at that time, we did not know. We believed and perceived ourselves to be alone. However, when we asked the Elohim, are we your only creation? They said no. That there were other star families is the term that we will use. That there were other star families out there. And that someday perhaps we might meet them. For they too had free will. This is when I asked the Lyrans, how did the wars begin? Imagining, if you will, that you are 1 million years in our future, terraforming other planets, the species has spread, you've even created a new species. The Lyran government itself was mostly councils. They asked the Elohim what would be best to govern ourselves, and the Elohim suggested the circle. So they continued in the form of the circle, forming different councils that would govern over these different planets. What's important to remember as we get into the wars is that there was not just one single planet, and they were at that time not tribal, but rather would appear to us as highly, highly advanced beings. And yet, in many ways, their advancement was not enough. How did the wars begin? They came in ships from the sky. Some of us were suspicious. Their energy felt like the void, the dark, but nonetheless, we met with them. They had been watching us, waiting for reinforcements and the right time. Our Elohim told us that we were not alone, but we had never met any other creations. Their words did not match their energy. Some of us were wary, but we were not fast enough. They were cunning, promising trade and to show us their ways. the species that they are talking about is what's known as the Draconian Forces. The Draconian Forces are many different species of reptilians, now in their ranks, especially during the Orion Wars, were many greys. The number one thing I want to say before we talk about the Draconian Forces is that every individual soul has free will to choose the path of service to self or the path of service to others. Every species is different, and I believe that the bodies we reside in, just like they talked about the five fingers, which we now know is why humans are so prone to war. I believe that the bodies we reside in play a huge role in how we see and perceive ourselves as souls and the path that we choose. The majority of the Draconian forces have chosen path of service to self. Most of these forces reside in the fourth density of consciousness, which lasts for millions of years. Eventually, they evolve to fifth density, which we will talk about in future episodes. But they cannot, as a service to self-being, evolve into the sixth density of consciousness. At that point, they must make the quantum leap back to the light. That's perhaps my favorite part of the universe. But these beings millions of years ago were the ones that the Lyrans met. I want you to imagine for a moment that you have existed for millions of years, never seeing another species, and one day they reach out and communicate with you telepathically. Their scouts began to send signals communicating with us, telepathically speaking to us, letting us know we are not alone, we are not alone. No, indeed, there was another species out there that desired to make contact with us. They even told us point blank, thinking us childish. We have been watching you for many years. Approximately 100 of your years, your human years, is how long the Draconian scouts were watching us. Watching, waiting, observing. They wanted to see and perceive all of our different technology. They wanted to see if we had weapons, if we were warriors, if we knew how to fight, if we could fight. Our species was highly harmonious. We were very loving beings, loving and accepting of all. There was no issue integrating this new human design that many of us were incarnating as. Many of our younger souls, what we saw and perceived as our own children, evolving into these bodies, spreading across these planets. We were harmonious. We were peaceful. We were loving and accepting. And when these forces from the dark came, foolishly we opened our arms. We did not trust that still small voice that told us something is wrong. Something is off. Their energy does not match their words. Their words were smooth like honey, but when we saw and perceived them, in reality, their forms, we thought this is some monster from the darkness. This is some monster from the void. Yet we did not have words like monster. We did not have words like war. At first, they only wanted meetings, to meet us, to get to know us. We tried to have what you might call an open mind, despite their forms being quite different from ours. You must understand how startling it was that these beings said that they had been traveling space, and really their words were like, we owned space, and we have been allowing you to live here. And yet for millions of years we had perceived ourselves to be the only beings, in this part of the galaxy at least. We wondered, we hoped, we waited, We thought perhaps maybe there will be others out there in the future. We saw them in our destiny, what you might call future timelines, visions that we perceive with our third eye. But we did not perceive this. They met with our many counsels. It was strange to us, and perhaps to them, that we had counsels who made decisions together, whereas they had leaders whose words were absolute, whose words were law, who gave orders and directed others in a manner we had never perceived before. Yes, there were some of us who were perhaps more aggressive in our personalities, but nothing like what we were seeing for the first time in these draconian forces. They seemed to laugh at our counsels and the way we made decisions. They seemed to mock everything about us. And yet, we had never experienced this before. We allowed it to continue. Their words were like honey. They told us, "We desire to trade with you. Look upon our ships, how much more advanced they are than yours. Look at the technology that we possess. We greatly desire to trade it for some of yours." Some of our what? Our resources. We had this feeling in the back of our mind, in the pit of our stomach, that not only were they referring to our planetary resources, but also to the species that lived upon them. This is what you might call an intuitive knowing. There were two threads that began at once. Once the council was alone. "Yes," we said, "we agree to trade with you," because there were many on the council who were eager to get to know these strangers. They were eager for this advanced technology that once we saw and perceived, we realized was far more advanced than ours. They were perhaps many millions of years ahead of us. But there was another faction, those of us listening to our intuition, who said something might go wrong here. And so we began to create for the first time what we called defenses. We began creating them in secret. We did not want the draconian forces to see or perceive them. We began creating them on our outer planets that their forces seemed far less interested in. Our defenses were nothing like what you perceive in your militaries on Earth. For at that point in our evolution, we knew and understand that there was the darkness and the light. That when there is excessive light offered to a being of darkness, that they must run, that they must flee, that they cannot stand in the light, they cannot withstand it. What you see and perceive now in your reality is that a being of light, when offering their light to a being of darkness or service to self-polarity, begins to lose their polarity to the darkness, because they are receiving the light. The light is pulling them towards the polarity of service to others. Because in that moment of allowing themselves to receive the light, they are performing a service to the light giver. So our weapons, our defenses that we were building meagerly behind the scenes so as not to be seen or perceived by them, were weapons of light, ways to amplify our light, and also perhaps ways to escape to other planets. This was the only strategy that we had in the beginning. But over the course of the wars, we would learn many, many more. Some perhaps believe that the Lyran story is a cautionary tale, one of letting your enemies get too close. And yet again, we had no word for enemy. We had no word for war. For the most part, in the early years, they stayed on their ships. Naturally, they could not come near us, for they were a different polarity. So when they came for us, they wanted to make sure that we had no defenses, that all of our defenses were down, that we were open, naive, willing. We began to trade with them slowly, us growing more eager for some of their technology, them seeming to have all of the answers to many of our questions. There was some of us who wondered, are they waiting for us to bow down and worship them as if they are gods? But we had already made connection, contact with the Elohim, our creators. We did not have religions. We did not have gods. But as many of you are now coming to understand or to remember, all of these concepts at some point or another must be seeded, they must be created, they must grow. All of these words, you must have a reason to make up the word, to create the understanding. And that's exactly what was happening in our worlds. We will tell you a little bit of the draconian forces. They operate in tiers, with the leader being at the top, and the grunts being at the bottom. There is much infighting within their ranks, continuous all the time. They live in a constant state of greed and strife, striving against one another for the next position of power, to have one up on the other. Their bodies were greatly varied as well, coming in all different forms, shapes, sizes, and heights, with the leaders seeming to be the tallest, the biggest, the strongest. Many of them had different scales. Some of them were small, appearing skin-like. Others were quite thick, appearing like armor, and yet it was part of their biologics. What's important to remember is that they were not third density beings. They did not have the same level of density that you do as an Earth human. Their rate of vibration is faster, for many of them were fourth density beings, some of them being in the early stages of fifth density. Those would have been the leaders that had fought their way to the top over many millennia of strife, greed, infighting. And yet still, they were evolving their rate of vibration faster. And so you would not be able to perceive these beings if you were to see them in your reality. Your rate of vibration is too slow. Their rate of vibration being faster, and in some cases faster than our own, they could wield not only technology, but also energy. This was a large part of how they fought with one another, and eventually with us. The goal of most reptilian forces and the Draconian Empire is to conquer, to completely take over. That is their singular goal. And also to sustain themselves and their armies. Because of their service to self, they see no issue taking and using all of the resources of a single planet. They do not consider themselves one with nature, one with the first and second densities. Instead, they see them as something to be used, to be dried up, cast aside. And then they move on to the next. Wherever they had come from before they found us, I shudder to think about those places. We understand the concept existing in your time-space reality, that they were deposited here from another universe that had grown tired of them depleting all of the resources and conquering all of the species, not allowing any to grow harmoniously, and so they sent them through a black hole, a portal, into this universe. But please understand, this does not happen without the consent of the sending Elohim and the receiving Elohim. Our Elohim allowed them to come here. In looking back, we see all of the lessons we could not have learned without this catalyst. And yet the hurt, the pain of what happened next still runs, still rings in all of your DNA. That is the Lyran legacy. And so I asked them, what happened next? After you had already begun trading with them, receiving technology from them, giving them access to certain planets and certain resources, feeling that at all times they were assessing you, when did the war actually begin? The war began when all great strategists would begin a war. In the dead of night. In the dead of night, they had already been leeching their claws into certain planets where we had allowed them to gather resources. We had tried to centralize the populations of those planets away from where they were working. But once they realized that we were becoming suspicious of them, that we were drawing back, that we were no longer as naive as we had been in the years that we had started trading with them, that was when they began their takeover. In the dead of night, they spread their forces on one of our younger planets. It had the primary resource that they were searching for. They had many boots on the ground already, mining for this resource deep inside of the Earth. The takeover was swift and almost non-resistant. Millions of lives were lost or taken hostage in what you perceive to be a single day. At this point, it had been nearly 5 of your years that we had been trading with them, and so we had this time to prepare some defenses. Although, having never been in any type of war, they were again very primitive. We had begun training some of our more adept at how to operate these defenses. We had no word or army. The closest translation would be a group of beings of light. These groups would lead any kind of defense should we need it. Coming from a tribal people, we worked well in groups. Few of us had leader tendencies, most of us relying on a form of telepathic communication. A group mind, if you will, making decisions together as one. Their takeover of the first planet was swift. When we found out the following morning, it was the feeling of everything you had feared had come to fruition. Suddenly, we needed more than just a word like conflict. We needed a word for battle, for war, for army, for nations. For generals. Everything escalated from that point. It was as if a chain reaction had been set off. Us withdrawing all of our resources, using our light to kick them off of our planets. However, they were too strong. They would use their ships to annihilate entire cities, entire populations, group habitations. Millions of lives were lost. We can now see and recognize that they worked slowly and methodically. That if they had wanted, they could have taken over all of the planets all at once. But they have a sinister quality to them. A quality like wanting to play with your food before you eat it. Knowing that it's already yours. We had to learn quickly. We had to evolve what felt like overnight. Trying to create defenses, trying to create better ships, ships that would allow us to evacuate certain populations from planets that we felt were about to fall. And yet still, we tried to continuously hit them with rays of light. And many of us tried to continue to have diplomacy. This is where they would drag out talks, saying that we promise you peace, that it was only one time, that it won't happen again, that they had to do it, all of the lies, all of the deceit. This is their game, again and again. They drug out this war for years, until many of our souls became hardened. Many of our warriors of light began to have deep resentment in their hearts towards these other beings. Again, I tell you, we were harmonious. We were loving. And when you hit a harmonious being again and again, it is a deep work to not harden your heart against all, but rather to remember that we must protect the innocent, those who cannot defend themselves at all. As the creator of these original human templates and designs who are already populating entire planets, the loss of human life was devastating to us, devastating to the councils. This war dragged on for many years. But what some of you might remember was the heightened sense of awareness, the belief, the fear that at any point, at any time, you would begin to hear their ships in the sky. You would begin to run for cover. Many of our defenses sending out ray after ray after ray of light. There were some small skirmishes and battles that we won. However, our technology was not enough. After the diplomacy talks began to dwindle and then implode on itself, them claiming that we were the betrayers. With each of their ships that we managed to destroy, their anger towards us grew, and they decided that they would annihilate all of us, calling us arrogant for believing that we could fight against them. Many times we called upon the Elohim for strength to resist, for strength to spread our light, for strength to banish the dark ones back from whence they came. This was the strength that eventually led our armies. Some of you who are younger souls may remember the last years of the war in Lyra, before they began destroying entire planets. These last years of the war, everyone was born, grew up, and lived, knowing nothing but war. We went from having no word for army to everyone being part of the defenses. We went from having the meekness of a shy house cat to having the roar of a lion. We are the Lyrans. We will never forget, although deep in our past we have already forgiven. The codes, the templates are still in your DNA. The war did not end in Lyra. It carried on. Many of you, young soldiers from Orion, you might think of this war as something that happened in your distant past. And yet we assure you, the war is alive and well in your present future. And yet this time, you have everything that you need. The humans of Earth have a mixture of our innocence and our clear knowing, the experience. We will spare you some of the gory details, but we will tell you that millions of lives were lost. And even if you are an etheric being of light, the loss of your incarnation is devastating. And to us, the loss of our human creation was also devastating. We began to evacuate all of our planets, loading up on different ships. We set out for anywhere that we could get away from them, traveling as fast and as far as possible. The evacuation of Lyra is not something that we are necessarily proud of, nor do we look down on ourselves for it. Entire planets were lost. Life forms were lost. But the memory was not. We saved all of the DNA templates, taking them with us, knowing that if we could find safety, we would be able to populate once more. Lastly, we will tell you of the blue ones on Vega. Many of you perceive us to be blue-skinned Lyrans, and this is true for those who lived on the temple of Vega. Vega, a star to your eyes, was our spiritual home, a high temple of sorts, a divine feminine planet. These incarnations had blue skin and yet looked much more human than some of our feline forms. This was due to a chemical reaction on that planet. But also, blue skin is seen as a sign of ascension. These spiritual healers, teachers, were very peaceful. They sought higher and higher forms of infinite intelligence. They sought to become one with the divine, believing that if we could ascend into full fifth density consciousness, even though many of us were still deep in fourth density, but if we could, then we would be able to find a solution to this conflict with the draconian forces. Through their intense higher light, they were able to shield themselves and the planet. However, in the end, they were also evacuated. We wandered as refugees for many years. Some of you being our descendants. Many of you carrying the memory of having lost your home, of having nowhere in the galaxy for you to lay down and rest your head. There were times when we did not have water. There were times when we did not have food or shelter. Yet still we persisted. There is a reason why in your world you perceive the lion to be king of the animal kingdoms. These future creations, these templates, hold the strength, the resilience, and the memory of all that was learned, of all that was received through this conflict. We would like you to know that there is nothing that we would not do for you, that seeing how humanity has grown, has evolved throughout the galaxy, on many more planets than Earth alone, it brings gladness to our hearts. And we send this transmission with highest light, highest love, and highest freedom for all. No matter what happens in the future of humanity, we want you to know, to remember, that you have everything that you need to grow, to evolve as you desire, to be a free being of light, that no force of darkness can ever have any hold over. You are a descendant of Lyra. You are a descendant of Vega. You are a creation of Elohim. But most importantly, you are humanity. And while that means many different things to you, to us, it is the same as saying, that is my child. That is my creation. And it is beautiful and perfect and divine. I want to thank the Lyrans, the Lion of Unity Consciousness, for coming through and sending these transmissions, for speaking through me, for telling your story, and for saying all that you would like to say to all humans who will listen to this transmission. Just coming out of channeling that, my heart chakra is on fire in the best ways, just feeling the fierceness of their love for us, especially as a soul who entered the story at a much later point, to feel that love and to know that I too am welcome to participate in that love. It's just such a beautiful gift. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you to all of you who listened. I know for many of you who carry strong Lyran DNA, that would be an activation, divine memory, perhaps even quite emotional for you to receive. And I want you to just know that I am holding the memory of Lyra exalted in my heart. It was the cradle of humanity, and by all rights, it should still be populated, and yet it is completely abandoned and emptied. It's devastating, really, to think about. And yet that was only the beginning of the wars. As they shared, the draconian forces were deposited into this universe after ravaging a different universe and not allowing anything to grow harmoniously. These beings are in their own evolution, some of them late fourth density and some of them fifth density. Their evolution can't last forever, and yet it can't come quick enough for them to be returned to the light and to allow this galaxy to continue to grow harmoniously. I also want to thank my Arcturian family for giving me the strength to do these transmissions. They're extremely emotional. And for being the shield of humanity, and for promising to put that shield around me as I attempt to continue telling this story that is so important for us to remember during this time. After the draconian forces ravaged Lyra and the planets of the Lyrans, they would proceed for many years to chase the Lyrans, the refugees and the survivors throughout the galaxy. The Lyrans went to many new places to try to find refuge and a home, some of them going as far as the Pleiades and even Andromeda. But there was a group of Lyrans who said, "Oh, hell no." And they decided to follow the fight as the draconian forces reassembled and set their eyes on a star cluster called Orion. As they began to move towards Orion, many Lyran warriors made the decision to reincarnate in the Orion constellation, where the species already inhabiting many of the planets were widely varied and honestly tough as nails. They joined us in what would become the Orion Wars, and you and I as the Orion Warriors of Light.